Right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. And we are continuing through with our Sunday school series on the thought of go, on the importance of sharing our faith as Christians and as believers in Christ. And this morning, I want us to look there, if we could, in John chapter 3. And who'd like to read verse 3, verse 5, and verse 7? John chapter 3, verse 3, verse 5, and verse 7. Miss Martha, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so the question we want to ask this morning is a very simple question, because it's a question that we'll really all be thinking about in a few weeks with the new year coming up. And that's a new year. It's a new start, a fresh start. We start thinking about New Year's resolutions and things that we want to change in our lives or about ourselves or things we want to work towards. And so the question I want us to ask this morning is very simply, would you like a new start? Would you like a new start? And, you know, as we think about salvation, when we break it down to its base level, it's not very difficult. Salvation is perhaps one of the easiest things that a person can do. But the difficulty comes in, and the difficulty lies in the sinner seeing his own need, his own lost condition, and admitting his need for a Savior. Because the truth of the matter is this morning that whether we want to admit it or not, we're very prideful people. And to be able to turn around and say and admit that we have something wrong with us, well, that takes a lot of effort on our part, because we like to think that no, nothing's wrong with us, that everything is just fine the way it is. But the truth of the matter and the reality of the matter is that we were all sinners in need of a Savior. And repentance is indeed, as 2 Timothy 2:25 tells us, acknowledging of the truth. Acknowledging of the truth. And in order for a man to be saved, the first thing that they need to do is realize that he's lost. The first thing you had to do when you got saved is to realize that without the Lord Jesus Christ, without God, without the Son of God, you were lost. And this is the work of the Scriptures. This is the work of the Spirit. And hopefully this morning, as we look at our lesson this morning, this lesson will demonstrate how Christ gave truth to a religious man, and it will provide an example for us to follow in our witnessing when we're out there sharing our faith and we're out there sharing what we know to be true about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some lesson aims for us this morning, and you can look at your handout there and fill in the blanks as we go along. But lesson aim number one is to understand the mind of a religious and moral leader. To understand the mind of a religious and moral leader. Aim number two, to discover the approach taken by Christ in his ministry. To discover the approach taken by Christ in his ministry. And then lesson aim number three, to learn to give the truth of the Lord Jesus in dependence on the Holy Spirit. To learn to give the truth of the Lord Jesus in dependence on the Holy Spirit. So again, the aims of this morning, very simply, to understand the mind of a religious and moral sinner, to discover the approach taken by Christ in his ministry, and then to learn to give the truth of the Lord Jesus in dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so, as we think about this question this morning, would you like a new start? You know, if you were to go and you were to ask the average person if in some area they would like to have a new start, you'd probably get a resounding yes. If you go up to somebody and say, hey, would you like a new start in your job? Would you like a new start in your career? Would you like a new start in your marriage? Would you like a new start? And you just fill in the blank. Because I believe we all would like a new beginning. We would all like a new start. There are things in all of our lives that we look back on in life and we say, man, if I just had an opportunity to do that differently, if I just had an opportunity to go back and change that, we would jump at that opportunity. We would jump at that possibility. And the fact is this morning is that we all need one. We all need a fresh start. We all need a new start. But the only way that we are going to have a new start is to have a new heart, is to have God do something with our old heart. And God is the only one that can do this in our lives. And Christ referred to this new start. He referred to this fresh start as being born again, as being born again. And so we ask the question, why is the picture of birth so helpful? Well, number one, birth. When we think about somebody being born, birth is really both common and miraculous when we think about it, right? All people understand the concept of birth. It is common to all people. Yet the giving of new life is truly miraculous in every way, because there can be no life without birth. Number two, birth is a new beginning. You see, a new child, when they're born, guess what? They don't have any past. All they have is a future. And a newborn baby begins with a clean record. And when you and I got saved, when you and I trusted Christ as our Savior, the Bible tells us that we were born again. And when you and I were born again, all of a sudden, we became like that newborn baby, and now we have a future. Now we begin with a clean record, and we no longer have to look back at our past of things we used to do, but now we can look ahead to our future and just look at what lies ahead of us. Number three, birth places us into a family. Birth represents belonging. And the new birth, when we're born again, it takes us from being orphans, spiritually speaking, and that new birth, when we trust Christ as our Savior, it takes us and places us into the family of God. We now belong to the Heavenly Father. And then fourthly, we see that birth happens in a moment. There is an instant where new life begins. Likewise, in a moment, a man is made new in Christ. And so we see here that birth, this picture of birth, is very helpful in describing exactly what happens when someone puts their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, we see these three verses we looked at this morning, verses 3, 5, and 7. Verses 3, 5, and 7 of John chapter 3. And we have in those three verses three distinct times, three different times that Jesus told Nicodemus that he and all men must be born again. And now, we've often said that in Scripture, if God says something once, it's important. If God says something twice, well, not only is it important, but we better pay attention. But then if we see God says it three times, well, then we know not only is it important, and not only is it that we better pay attention, but we ought to do some investigating into why it is that Christ is putting such emphasis, or why God is putting such emphasis on what he is saying. And we find that this repetition is significant. You see, God never repeats himself just to repeat himself. He never says something more than once just because he likes to hear himself talk. No, this repetition is important. This repetition is significant. And you see, he refused, Jesus did, to change his message when this religious sinner began to question it. You know, Christ could easily have, as Nicodemus was questioning him, and you know, he could have easily turned things around and said, well, that it's not really what I meant. But no, every time Nicodemus questioned him, he said the exact same thing, and he never was detoured, and Christ could not be detoured from the truth that Nicodemus needed to hear. And you and I, we have the truth. We know what is true according to the Word of God. And you and I, we must be willing to keep giving the message even when it's not initially received. Because there's going to be instances when you go to witness to somebody, when you go to share Christ with somebody, you go to maybe invite somebody to church, share the gospel, and they're not going to want to listen. They're not going to want to hear it. Well, do we stop? Absolutely not. We just look for those opportunities to share Jesus. We just look for those opportunities to invite people to church. And so, we're here this morning in John chapter 3. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what we should really take note of, and really just something to love Christ about, and that is the fact that the Lord Jesus meets people where they were. The Lord Jesus meets people where they were. You see, he did not leave them there to be sure, but he accepted people as they were, and then he started there to lead them into the truth. And this morning, no matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself in life this morning, Jesus will meet you right where you are. And we see that he dealt with every sinner differently based upon his or her background. For example, in the next chapter, in John chapter 4, we find that he addresses the woman at the well. And we all know that story. We all know that account. She was desperately thirsty for something to fill the void in her life. This knowledge of her need was used by Jesus to point her to the living water that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. She was looking for a temporary fix, but Jesus gave her something eternal that would fix her life altogether. And so many people in our world today, they're looking for a temporary fix. But the Lord Jesus Christ is there to provide something that will fix eternally. A sinner's first step, or a sinner's first need, excuse me, is simply to see their need. And this was the case with Nicodemus. The first step in leading someone to Christ is to lead them to see their own sinfulness. And so I want us to see this morning three truths. Three truths this morning. Number one, and you can follow along there in your outline, and this is your first fill in the blank. Number one, the new birth is for every sinner. Number one, the new birth is for every sinner. When you read John chapter 3 and John chapter 4 together, they provide a beautiful picture of all who need salvation. And in John chapter 3, we find that it's a religious Jewish man. In John chapter 4, we find that it's a worldly Samaritan woman. They were two people on two opposite ends of the spectrum. But they both needed Christ. And that teaches us a simple truth this morning, and that is that all need Christ. Men, women, boys, girls, young, old, it doesn't matter who they are. They need Christ. Religious people need Christ. Worldly people need Christ. Jewish people need Christ. Gentile people need Christ. And it was Christ who died for all, and he desires all to experience new life in him. And we see here that Nicodemus is identified in two ways. Number one, Nicodemus was a man. Notice there, John chapter 3. And notice, if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And you see, this morning, it must be acknowledged, first of all, that people, no matter how good they may be, that at the end of the day, they're just man. At the end of the day, they're just a woman. At the end of the day, they're just human. At the end of the day, they're just sinful. And regardless of what we have accomplished or what others think of us, we are all sinful men who need God. And all men need God. You take note of all encompassing words used by God in the following verses. Romans 3:10, don't turn there, but the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that right there, that is God's message to every man. Ye must be born again. But not only was Nicodemus a man, we see that Nicodemus was a master. Notice there, John chapter 3 and verse number 10. John chapter 3 and verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? So Christ here, he not only referred to Nicodemus as a man, which he was, but he referred to Nicodemus as a master in Israel. Also referred to in verse 1 as a ruler of the Jews. And so this man, Nicodemus, he was a religious man. He knew the Old Testament law. He revered tradition, and he was faithful to the practices and the rituals. Nicodemus was a very well-respected man. But even despite this fact, he was still, at the end of the day, a man. And he still needed to be born again. And listen this morning, it doesn't matter who you are this morning. No family background, no religious training, no knowledge of Scripture. None of those things can substitute for a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you can never remember a time that you've been born again, you're like Nicodemus. And you need to be born again this morning. In the same chapter where we find that all men are sinners, we read these words, Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, this morning, there's no good works that are sufficient to reconcile a sinful man to a holy God. There's nothing you can do that can make you good enough. There's nothing I can do to make me good enough. I can be a pastor for 50 years, and if I never took the time to trust Jesus as my Savior, then I will die in my sins and I will go to hell. Because just doing good works does not save us. And no one, I don't care who you are, no one is exempt from sin, and no one will escape sin's judgment. And so this is God's message to religious men here in John chapter 3. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so we see, number one, the new birth is for every sinner. Then number two this morning on your outline, the new birth is only in the Savior. The new birth is only in the Savior. Notice there, if you would, John chapter 3 and verse number 2. John chapter 3 and verse number 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We see here that in John chapter 3 and verse 2 that Nicodemus came to Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He knew that there was only one man that he could go to that had the answers for the questions that he had. And this morning, when you were searching for the answers of how you could have eternal life, there was only one man that had those answers. And his name is Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never been born again and you're searching. You have those same questions that Nicodemus has. May I encourage you this morning that Jesus has those answers. And we see here what a beautiful expression that every man must come to Jesus for himself. And in John 6:37, Christ promises, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, this morning, if you come to Jesus, we have a promise from Jesus himself. He's never going to cast you away. He's never going to cast you out. There will always be room at the feet of Jesus. We see that Nicodemus declared what he knew. And we must begin with each person right where they are. For Christ meets us where we are. And in verse 2, Nicodemus declared the two things he knew about the Lord. And listen, sometimes you'll be out there, you'll be dealing with somebody that needs to be saved. And maybe they only know one or two things about God. Well, they'd be just like Nicodemus. He knew, number one, that he was a teacher. We see he referred to him with the respectful title of rabbi. That Christ was a teacher, but in reality, he was so much more. He was the very truth of God. And he knew that not only was he a teacher, but Nicodemus knew that he was come from God. And while it is true that the Father sent him, Christ was more than just being from God. Jesus was God, come in the flesh. And sinners must acknowledge Christ for who he is if they are to know him as Savior. And so Nicodemus here, he declared what he knew, but then Nicodemus discovered what he did not know. Notice here, if you would, chapter 3 and verse number 9. John chapter 3 and verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? So we see here that in verse number 9, Nicodemus confessed that there are many things he did not understand. This is very essential. Because eternal life is received only by faith. The answer to all of his questions was found in Christ. And the answer to all of your questions this morning is found in Christ. New birth comes when religious people stop thinking that they have all the answers and realize that Jesus is enough. Notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 13. Because Jesus begins to give some basic truths about himself here to Nicodemus. Notice there, verse number 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So we see that Christ alone came down from heaven. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We see that in verse 14, Christ will be lifted up on a cross just as Moses had lifted up the serpent for Israel to be saved in Numbers chapter 21. Verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so we see that Christ offers eternal life to all who will believe. And then verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we see here in verse 16 that Christ's sacrifice is evidence that God loves all people and does not want them to perish. The new birth is God's offer of a new life in Christ. And so again, we see that the new birth is for every sinner. The new birth is found only in the Savior. And then thirdly and finally this morning, the new birth is the work of the Spirit. The new birth is the work of the Spirit. You see, all three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are connected to the new birth. They are connected to being born again. New birth makes us a child of the Heavenly Father. New birth comes through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here, if you would, verses 5 through 8. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so we see here that according to Christ, the new birth is the very work of the Holy Spirit of God. You sometime before today is over, read Galatians chapter 4. And you'll see very quickly the connection between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our salvation. We enter the family of God through this new birth. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We now have that opportunity that we are able to cry out to God, Abba, Father. We are now adopted into the very family of God. Notice here again in John 3, if you would, the three references to the Holy Spirit, each revealing something about the new birth. Number one, the spiritual birth is a necessity. Notice there again, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And so we see here, Jesus says that a man, we must have two births to enter into heaven, to enter into the kingdom of God. Number one, born of water. That's our natural birth. We all had to be born once. But then he says we need to be born of spirit. That's the spiritual birth. That's us being born again. And we see that the spiritual birth is a necessity. But then secondly, we see the spiritual birth is a reality. Notice, if you would, verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so we think about the spiritual birth this morning. It's just as real as the physical birth. It's just as unique as the physical birth. Flesh never becomes spirit. Spirit never becomes flesh. Again, that's what it means here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You and I this morning are both physical and spiritual parts. We think about the body this morning. The body is very distinct from the soul and spirit of man. The new birth, true salvation, it's just not a surface work. But when you're truly born again, it changes a man's spirit. And only the Holy Spirit of God can make that change. And so we see the spiritual birth is a necessity. The spiritual birth is a reality. But then we see in verse number 8, the spiritual birth is a mystery. Notice there, verse number 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You see, the new birth this morning is not something that man can produce. We just don't wake up one morning and say, "Okay, today I want to be saved. Today I want to be born again, so now I'm born again." No, we don't produce it ourselves. It is more than mere reform or effort on our part. It's the Holy Spirit that accomplishes the new birth within a man. And we see that Jesus, he used the illustration of wind here to represent the work of the Spirit. We know in John chapter 20, Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit is often associated with God's breath or wind in Scripture. You know, we think about the wind this morning, and there's a mystery to the wind, isn't there? I mean, you can hear the wind. You can hear it blowing. You can feel its effects. God's Spirit works in much the same way. He speaks, he moves men, and it's his power alone that brings sinners to repentance and to faith. Now, I submit to you this morning, and I freely admit to it, that there are just some things we do not fully know about the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit of God works. But two truths are clear. Number one, the Holy Spirit works through the Scripture. The Holy Spirit of God works through the Bible. And if we want the Holy Spirit to work in our life, we need to read our Bibles. We need to be in our Bibles on a day-by-day basis. The only other time the concept of the new birth is used in the Bible is found in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so you have the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Scriptures. You have the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And those two are always working together. Paul speaks in Ephesians the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that works as the truth of God's Word is given. So as we're here teaching the Bible, as we're preaching the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God is what is working on your life. But not only that, secondly, the Holy Spirit works through witnesses. You see, it was as Christ spoke to Nicodemus that the Spirit worked. There had been much preparation of his heart leading up to this conversion and this conversation. But the clear explanation of the gospel was still necessary. It took a witness. It took somebody taking the gospel to a lost and dying man. To take the gospel to a lost and dying world. And this is why the Holy Spirit fills believers to be bold witnesses for Christ. The Spirit of God must do the work of the new birth, but we must give the message. The Holy Spirit works, the Spirit-filled believers share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, people in this world, they're not going to be saved unless we as God's people go and tell them. Unless we go and share the gospel, unless we go and share the good news. Nicodemus is mentioned two other times in the gospel account. In John chapter 7, there seems to be a marked openness in Nicodemus to the message he had first received. And then by the time we read of him in John chapter 19, we find that Nicodemus is now an open follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know the exact moment of his new birth, but we do see evidence that he was born again. And this is a wonderful truth this morning, and that is that the new birth brings new life. A new heart brings a new start. There was a man by the name of Tony Bullimore who was sailing alone deep in the Southern Ocean in January of 1997 when his yacht hit a 5-story tall wave. It turned upside down and pinned Bullimore inside the cockpit. With little supplies and frostbitten fingers, he sat alone in that tiny dark space for 4 days. All hope was lost that he would be found. Late on Wednesday night, the wreckage was spotted and sailors were able to perform a rescue mission. Amazingly, Tony survived. When interviewed by reporters, Tony said it was like being born all over again. A new start, a new opportunity for life, brings hope out of despair. And you see, this morning, before you and I got saved, before you and I got born again, whether we knew it or not, we were living a life of despair. But when Christ reached down and he rescued us, he took us from sinking sand and put us on sure foundation. He brought us out of despair and into hope. And the one thing greater than physical rescue is spiritual rescue, is spiritual salvation. All men must be born again. And the way that they get born again is by believers, those of us that know the truth, is by taking the truth to that lost and that dying world, that they might know Christ as their Savior. There in your handout, you see the lesson application. And here are some next steps you can take. Number one, study one of John's other books over the next few days. Perhaps 1 John, which we're studying on Wednesday nights. Make a list of some of the birthmarks of a believer. How can one know that he has truly been born again? And perhaps you've already done this, but memorize John 3, verse 15 and 16. Write it down and place it in a prominent place and then quote it out loud to yourself each day of the week. And then here's the third step that we all need to take this week and in the new year. Begin a conversation about Christ with somebody this week. And you can use this question. Have you ever thought you would like a new start? I think you'll be surprised at the answer when you ask them if they'd like a new start. Many people out there are looking for that new start. We have it for them in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.